I'm going to keep some water with me today. Having just gotten over a cold and now passed it along to Shannon, and that will be our first prayer request. Other ones that have been brought to my attention, it's been 1 year today that Don Klitsky died, so let's keep Jeannie and her family in prayer today. We're going to have a funeral service on Tuesday for Dan Amigo, and I understand that some of us knew him. He was married in this church and attended for a while, a special needs gentleman that's been around Grand Junction quite a while. If any of you do know him and want to be a part of that service, you're certainly welcome. A number of people from that community will be here on Tuesday. We want to lift up our unhoused neighbors that have been joining us this week and will continue for another week or so. And then I will open the book. A big first birthday for Colin. Is that Colin Borchel Vallarde, Ron and Marion's grandson? Yeah. Yes, that's been a long journey this first year, right? Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Concerns or prayer requests, Tammy is lifting up Denise and Pete Personette. Pete has been admitted to the hospital and not doing well. And then she's also lifting up Connie Holly, with a back injury, has been confirmed by an MRI, has to decide if she wants to do the surgery. That's a challenging diagnosis. So Connie and Pete, keep them in our prayers. Are there other prayer requests this morning?
Yes. I have joy.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's hear a joy.
My joy is that our grandson, Alex, who graduates from high school this year, has signed his letter of intent to go and play football at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota.
Wow, that's exciting. Okay, what else? Lily.
Travel mercies for Billy and Emily as they are going to
New Orleans.
And then they're taking a cruise. So.
Billy and Emily traveling to New Orleans, and then for a cruise, for more traveling. Yeah, good for them. Anything else? Well, let us lift up our prayers to God. We'll begin with a moment of silent prayer, recognizing God's presence among us, and perhaps listening for God's whisper. Let us pray together. God of all grace and mercy, you have made an amazing and beautiful world, diverse and teeming with the bounty and beauty of your artful hand. You have made us mortals in your own image, and given us such a marvelous variety of gifts by which to praise and serve you and to serve the common good. Hear our varied expressions of thanksgiving as we look to you for care and guidance to use every skill and art which you've blessed us for the blessing of humanity. We seek new ways, O Lord, to reach into the lives of others who are searching for meaning in their lives and to discover their own giftedness and to give them encouragement, love, and peace on that journey. We look to you to guide us as partners with Christ as we minister to those who are hurting, lonely, sick, grieving, or in any danger. May our openness to your Spirit at work within us as your people be a sign of your ministries at work within us, your church. Make of this community a home of peace and empowerment for those who are struggling to find their future and a place of compassion and justice for those who need it most. Hear our prayers, O God, for those whose lives are closely linked with our own, whose names cross our hearts and our lips so often, and whose needs are many. Help us to entrust them to your care as we offer up our own needs and our heart's desires to you in silence. As Jesus prayed that all who follow him might be one, reshape us as your faithful disciples and knit us tightly with all those who profess Christ into his one body. May our unity and our diversity proclaim his name to all the world as we glorify you together, offering our varied gifts for your use. For we pray in Jesus' name and in his Spirit. Amen. Going to try and baby my voice through the morning. Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. I'm sure that much of this is familiar, but let us listen for God's word this morning. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. May God bless our hearing and our understanding of this scripture. And so, we've heard it again, and I wonder if any words or phrases might have stood out for you. Al?
We are all one body.
We are all one body. That's a powerful picture, word picture. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Lily?
And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor.
And the parts we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. Yeah. We should think on that. Yeah. Okay. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. A minister, a priest, and a rabbi went for a hike one day. It was very hot. They were sweating and exhausted, and they came upon a small lake. Since it was fairly secluded, they took off all their clothes and jumped in the water. Feeling refreshed, the trio decided to pick a few berries while enjoying their freedom. As they were crossing an open area, who should come along but a group of ladies from town? Unable to get to their clothes in time, the minister and the priest covered their privates, and the rabbi covered his face while they ran for cover. After the ladies had left and the men got their clothes back on, the minister and priest asked the rabbi why he covered his face rather than his privates. The rabbi replied, I don't know about you, but in my congregation, it's my face they would recognize. I'm sorry if that's too graphic. But it raises the question for me, when people look at the church as the body of Christ, what part of the body do they recognize? When people look at us, First Christian Church, what do they see? And that's my first chat question. Any thoughts? What do people see when they look at First Christian Church?
Love.
Love? I sure hope so. A community?
Kindness,
I think so.
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Those are things I see. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Caring.
Caring. Yep. Good. Bonnie. Safety. Good. Well, when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he was seeing people who were struggling with the issues of the day. Sexual immorality, divorce, abstinence, climbing the ladder of success, legalism, the importance of marriage. Have we progressed at all since those early days of the church? What do people see when they look at us? When people look at churches, a lot of them just see a building. There are tall cathedral church buildings, modern high-tech church buildings. There's small prefab church buildings. But when people see those buildings, do they really see the church? And some people see the publicity, the advertisements in the newspaper or the internet. Some churches even advertise on TV or radio. Do people see the church in those ads, or do they just see the money spent? Some people see the programs of the church, worship, Bible study, women's and men's groups. Some people see the outreach ministries of the church, our boxes out by the street, sheltering our unhoused neighbors, guitar club, women's ministries, disciple missionaries, Week of Compassion. Do people see the church in these programs and ministries, or do they just see the accomplishments of the church? And some people only look to see how the church stands on the political or so-called moral issues of the day. I'm almost afraid to ask what younger people see in the church nowadays, but I do want to know. People can see a lot about our church from looking at all of these different parts of the church and our ministries, but do they really see who we are? And do we really see who we are? Or are we covering up any private parts that we're not so proud of, or that we just don't understand so well? Chat number three, your opinions, your thoughts. What is the most important part of First Christian Church? What is most important? Bonnie?
People.
The people? Okay, good answer. Any other answers? The mission. Jeanette.
Communion.
All good answers. Yvonne.
The fellowship.
The community, yeah. Violet.
Believing in the Bible.
Jeannie.
Working together.
Good. Tammy. Transparency. Authenticity. Being who we are. Any other thoughts? All good answers. Thank you for that. One of Paul's biggest complaints with the early church in Corinth was that they didn't even understand who they were. For instance, when they gathered for worship and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they didn't wait for everyone to get there. They called it the Lord's Supper, thinking that Christ was there when they broke the bread and drank the cup. But Paul wanted them to understand that it is when the whole body comes together to break the bread and drink the cup that Christ is truly present. If part of the body is not present, then the body is not complete. Now, I'm asked occasionally, where do disciples stand on those controversial moral issues of today? abortion, sexual preference, the sanctity of marriage. I'll bet many of you wonder about some of these too. I usually respond that the disciples don't have an official stance on these issues. Our stance is encouraging each of us to study these issues carefully, to ask how our relationship with God through Jesus informs our own stance, to pray, to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to act or vote out of that careful study and prayer. But doesn't that lead to disagreement within the church? Some people believing and acting in one way and others believing and acting in another? Yes, it does. It hopefully will lead to personal study of the Bible, application of the Bible to our real lives, understanding of the world and its need for the gospel good news, and then personal engagement in the issues and needs of our world, guided and empowered by the Spirit of Christ. But if we're going to be the church, shouldn't we stand together and in agreement when it comes to the important issues of our world? Yes, we should stand together. In fact, we talked in the cabinet meeting last week about how our church might become a place where people actually talk about difficult matters in mutually loving ways, which means, we defined it, to will the good of the other person. Like iron sharpens iron, a useful metaphor from the book of Proverbs, the sharpening of one another requires contact, friction even, persuading one another for their best good, or being persuaded, not manipulating or coercing for our own benefit. I hope that makes sense. Our poll question this morning: how many think that a church can have conversations about divisive topics and still stay together? Good, good. I think that's good. When Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ, he talks about the many parts of the body: Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, hands, feet, eyes, nose, all working together. Indeed, he says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And reminds us, if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? A good word picture for us. So I'm glad that each of you members is part of this church. And I hope that those that are not official members will be comfortable becoming a member. But it doesn't mean that you have to subscribe to any political or moral stance. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me or anyone else here. It does mean that you have chosen First Christian Church to be the church within the larger body of Christ, where you will grow in your understanding of the Bible, grow in your relationship with God through Jesus, grow in your understanding of and engagement in the community and the world around you in Jesus' name and spirit. And it does mean that we are all here to help you along the way, to help each other. Together, as First Christian Church, we can agree, as we read this morning, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we will ask him to be our Lord and Savior. That means our leader, guiding us forward. And then I lose my place. That is the one requirement to be a member of this church, which then entails learning to follow Jesus' footsteps of love. Remember, that means a commitment to will the good of another, a decision, and then appropriate actions. To love like Jesus loves, because when it comes down to it, the one thing we want people to see when they look at our building, our publicity, our programs and ministries, the one thing we always want them people to see is Jesus in us. We want people to see Jesus and meet Jesus and grow with Jesus. And we want that for ourselves whenever we gather together as church, the body of Christ. And we want that for everyone we meet in our neighborhood, in our community, and in our world. Everyone who sees us or hears about us, we want them to see only Jesus. That's what it means to be Christian. That's what it means to be a member of First Christian Church. Of course, we're all on a journey to become Christians, to become the church that God calls us to be. God has to pick each one of us up at times, dust us off, forgive us, give us a second chance. I know I need it. Being a disciple means that when the world looks at you, they see Jesus, feel his love more and more every day. Chat number 4 is, can you think of ways we can show Christ to each other and to our neighborhood? Something to think about. Will you pray with me? Blessed, loving God, we give thanks that you not only invite us, but you accept us into this fellowship of your church. You accept us just as we are, with our sinfulness, our weakness, with our reluctance at times. And you wrap us in your love. You warm our hearts and soothe our minds, that we can hear your word and know your love, not just for us, but for each other and for all those around us. And that we can know about your son Jesus and how he showed us the way and then even gave his own life for us. How can we put our own opinions or ideas before yours and his? We just pray that you would continue to strengthen us as individuals and as this faith community to better give a glimpse of what Jesus looks like, loves like, lives like in this world even today. We thank you once again. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.